Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Back here with the Starting Five podcast on SB Nation Grizzly Bear Blues, aka the Dylan Brooks' biggest haters out here. I am the one P Sharp.
Ain't this something? I'm @_ScottLead on Twitter. I had a whole introduction and that completely threw me off.
The fact that we actually are considered the Dylan Brooks haters and I'm the lone defender of him, even though some stuff is inexcusable. But what's good, everybody? I'm Trevor, the corner man, the 3-and-D guy. What's good?
Yeah, I actually, it's really shit. I get mail sent there.
Which is ironic. You know, the guy who said we was the biggest haters, he was low-key complaining about Dylan last week. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Let's go and move on to our topics. Brandon Clark got signed to a nice contract. 4 years, $52 million. That was not a number I expected. I thought it would be a little more. What do y'all guys think about Brandon Clark's contract and extension?
First of all, congrats to him. Congrats to not only him, but I think the organization as well, too. I think there is a consensus around not only Grizzlies Nation, but I think around the NBA as well, to say that this was a pretty decent deal for both parties. So it was good to see Brandon Clark worked his way up from in which he came to essentially now being or having a vital role on this team, not only in the regular season, but in the postseason as well, too. So I think to get him at that number, which rounds off, I think, logistically about $12.5 million per year, in my opinion, I think that was really good. And I think it also speaks volumes to the Grizzlies front office. I think you can definitely put them up there in terms of those front offices in the list of all the teams around the league that, since they kind of know what they're doing, they're taking care of their players. And I think for the most part, even dating back to, I think maybe right before Ja, maybe even when Jaren has, when he was brought on into the league by the Grizzlies, in some form or fashion, they've extended or come to a multi-million dollar a year deal. Most of the people that they've drafted, whether there's Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, Salty Aldama, Ja Morant, whatever the case may be, they've definitely taken care of their players. And I think that's something that not only this Grizzlies roster team knows and understands, but I think for potential free agents that may even look at Memphis a little bit longer to say, you know, maybe X team isn't known historically for taking care of their players, but Memphis Grizzlies does. And so I think from that perspective, it's a really good deal for both parties for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe I and the rest of Grizz Nation would agree that after the series he had against the Timberwolves, like, this new deal was warranted. But for Memphis to re-sign him at $13 million a year, you really have to give kudos to both the organization as well as Brandon Clark again. Because we always of the mindset of get your money here on this podcast. So congrats to Brandon Clark there. And congrats to the Grizz for to get them at a nice little number. So it's good to see the Grizz is taking care of their core. If you just look back to everything, they re-signed Tyus Jones. They gave Steven Adams an extension. Gave, of course, Jaren got his extension. Ja got the Supermax, you know, things of that nature. So it's good to see that Memphis is taking care of their players, and it's good that they're trying to keep this core together and seeing what this team really, what this potential could potentially be with this team. We already know when the time comes, we expect a big payday for Desmond Bane. So that's not neither here or there. Then, of course, if I'm not mistaken, the player options was picked up for Santi Aldama as well as Zaire Williams as well. So Robert Perry is willing to spend money, and he is also willing to keep this core together. So I definitely will have to give kudos to him and the rest of the front office for seeing that and seeing the potential for where this team can go. But in the end, man, kudos to Brandon Clarke. Get your money, get paid. You definitely earned it, if not throughout your play from your rookie year, definitely earned it from that playoff series against the Timberwolves. So kudos.
Yeah, and for we have BC and Triple J tied up for the next 4 years, altogether less than $160 million, if I'm correct. Steven Adams, another 3 years, again, under $20 million a season. What this says to me, and I'm taking a different view of it than what my brothers have already stated. What this says to me is we're going to put some money aside because somebody's going to want to come to Memphis and play with Ja. Someone is going to do it. And we're going to have enough money to throw at them to say, hey, maybe you don't like Memphis, but here's a lot of money for you to love Memphis just for like 2 to 3 seasons. And I'm really glad of the, I will call them like contract friendly, franchise friendly type of contracts, excuse me, that we've been dishing out, because, you know, less than $20 million for your big, so to speak, per. Of course, Jaren Jackson's a little bit north of 20, maybe like, I think at one point, maybe makes 26 or 27 a season. But that's it. Like, you know, we have a lot of money to spend. And again, to your point, Desmond Bane's payday is coming up as well. But man, I really can't wait to see who will be that star that actually does come to Memphis, whether it be, you know, getting into their prime or in their prime, or maybe just someone like a 1 year out of their prime and say, hey, I want to help Memphis get to this championship. And I can't wait to see who that star is, because we're going to have enough money in that bag to throw at that star. Well, I think we may have been a little bit short of that in years past.
Hey, the Jaylen Brown to the Grizz ain't dead just yet. So stay woke, ladies and gentlemen.
I feel like we've been saying Jaylen Brown to the Grizz for the last 4 or 5 years. But you know what? Dream might happen someday. Happen someday. Oh, man. Shout out to Brandon Clarke. Shout out to the Grizzlies. I've been saying, just seeing a deal, 4 years, $52 million. My first thought was like, you know, I thought he was probably going to be like $80 million. Like, you know, I thought it'd be like a lot more. But man, that's kudos to them. It's still money. Like, you know, they're millionaires, right? 13 mil, 17 mil. 17 mil is more, but you still getting paid 13 mil, right? But it just lets you know the Grizz culture and that they all like to play together, right? Like, you don't take a lesser deal like that. I enjoy where I play it. I think I heard, I watched the Chris Vernon show earlier, and he was mentioning, like, you know, what if you go sign a big contract with another team, with Charlotte, for instance, you know, and you end up being miserable. Otherwise, you stay in Memphis, sign for a little less, you stay with your, basically your friends, everybody's cool with each other, and y'all fun, y'all have fun, just, you know, way much more, you know, fun style to play. Like, there's a lot to be said about this. So it just lets you know how far our culture has come since, you know, the Chris Wallace days. Although we had the grit and grind era, the little transition over to the next gen era was kind of a little rough one with Jimmy Bickerstaff at the helm and Shelvin Mack and all the minutes and everything. So it's just a whole complete turnaround. So it's just kudos to the Grizzlies. You got him signed, you got Steven Adams signed an extension for a nice deal. You paid y'all. Like I said, Desmond Bane is up next. Jaren is paid. You know, it's one player that ain't paid yet, but it's understood on reasons, right? It is understood on reasons, right? They can only offer him $61 million. Dylan Brooks wasn't taking $61 million. That's just the honest truth on that. I think he should test the market if I was him as well.
Yeah, at this point in time, like, it's clear that either he's going to be moved at the deadline or he's going to be testing free agency, because he already had a franchise-friendly deal on this past deal.
Right. So,
pretty sure he's a little bit more worth than 61. Maybe not in the hundreds, but he's at least worth 80. I'll give him 80. So it is.
Do y'all know? Do you know why that was the case? Why they can only offer him that amount? Like, I never
I think to Sheedy's point, they're putting some money aside because you see. I'm saying
it's NBA rule. They could only offer him 4 years, $61 million. They couldn't offer him more. For extension.
Oh, the NBA rule.
Oh, I think I did some research about it. It's because he throws up too many shots and has too many turnovers. We're only offering him up to $60 million. $61 million. Yeah, you knew I.
I honestly don't know. I ain't know if it was the NBA rule. I thought it was just maybe the Grizz is saying, like, look, we can only give you this much because, you know, we got to pay Desmond Bain eventually. So yeah. I'm not sure.
It was some type of rule. That's the max they could offer him, literally. It's an extension.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear because you would think, one, that Memphis would be able to offer him a contract that nobody else would, one, to be able to put them not to be capped out to say, like, what number, like, what's this is the max number that we can only give you. So that's interesting to hear from. That's interesting to hear for sure. And I would definitely like to know what their ruling is. I'm not even sure if I've heard of it before. Like, I've heard of bird rights in some form and fashion.
Yeah.
But I don't even think like that's even tied to this. So I would be interested to know that one.
Right. Any of our listeners, if y'all know, man, let us know. Of course, our GBB fan probably knows as well. So, man, anybody's listening, please let us know. As I heard that all summer, I was like, why is that the max? But moving forward, this is the week of the start of the regular season. Seen a lot on social media about the Grizzlies. Of course, we do our weekly predictions and recaps. But I've been seeing a lot of people predicting the Grizzlies' first 10 games. So, I said, why not? Why don't we just predict the first 10 games? Then following weeks, we'll just keep up with our records that we kept up with and see if they're on track to meet those goals. So, first 10 games. Of course, they start off with the New York Knicks. First off, three of the first 10 games are on national TV, two on ESPN and one is on NBA TV. Start off with the New York Knicks at home. Then we play at Houston, at Dallas, versus Brooklyn, at Sacramento, at Utah back-to-back. So, we play at Utah twice on back-to-back games, at Portland, versus Charlotte and versus Washington. So somewhat of a mixed bag of a schedule based on last year's records. But based on that schedule, what do y'all predict the Grizzlies to do in the first 10 games?
I'll go 6-4. And I don't necessarily have a breakdown to say like what games they'll win and what games they'll lose. But I'll go 6-4. 6-4 because I still feel like in a sense that the Grizzlies may be trying to find themselves. With the understanding that Jaren Jackson Jr. is out. And I think backcourt's going to be fine. I think they're still trying to figure out who and what's going to get, who's going to get certain minutes, how many minutes somebody's going to be playing, but then also try to figure out, like, how are you going to fill that void of Jaren Jackson Jr.? Again, we talked about earlier this summer about, like, how well he improved defensively. So you're definitely having to take that away. You're definitely having to take away his ability to space the floor. Now, granted, you can in some form or fashion feel those shoes just a tad. But again, to have the defensive presence that you have with Jaren Jackson Jr., but then him be able to stretch the floor all within one person, and then for you to try to figure out amongst Xavier Tillman, Brandon Clark, and Salty Aldama, and Steven Adams, and all that type of stuff. I think that's going to be something that they're going to be having to work through. So I'm going to go 6-4 again. I don't have the breakdown of what games they'll win and lose. I think it'll be kind of 500 in between there, just a tick over there. But I'm going to go 6-4, and I promise you, they will win on Wednesday because your boy is pulling up to the FedEx Forum season opener. I'm there. Make sure y'all come see me.
Yeah, I'll do one game better and go 7-3. I think this kind of be like the filling out stage for the Grizz per se, just what Skylar mentioned, just trying to figure out how rotation is going to be with Jaren Jackson out of the lineup for the presumed future. So it's going to be some growing pains there just for tad bit. I do think they come out the gate and get the W against New York. The three losses I see for them are coming. I will definitely say, believe it or not, they'll lose to Houston. Because strange things happen at the beginning of the season. They'll split that home and home against Utah, and then I want to say Brooklyn, because I don't think they've seen Brooklyn at full strength as of yet. I mean, they've seen KD and Kyrie, but I think with Ben Simmons now in the lineup, it's going to be a whole different ballgame for them, which could be a little bit too much. And then it's coming off of back-to-back where you're in Houston, you're in Dallas. So you're going from facing Luka to turning around, having to face KD and Kyrie. But I do think Memphis can take care of business and finish up 7-3. If they're even better than that, hey, more power to them. But I think 7-3 is a good way to start out the season.
I'm echoing what Skylar said. I'm with the 6-4 gentlemen. I'm saying 6-4 with a loss at Dallas as they take their two-step in Texas. I'm losing to Dallas. And I got them losing also one game against the Jazz. To your point of a back-to-back. And where do I have the other two losses? The Kings. I know you're like the Kings, but they have a lot of interior offense that I'm not sure if we're ready to battle without Triple J. And I also think the Trailblazers are going to give us some fits as well. And so I'm going 6-4. I'm saying Trailblazers, Jazz, Kings and Mavericks are the four losses that we have.
Can definitely see that loss to the Trailblazers.
Man, 6-4, 7-3, man. Y'all wilding, man. Y'all see the 9-10-0. What y'all talking now playing?
Straight out the gate. Okay, Sharky. Nah, okay. I'll play.
Mr. 500 no more.
Mr. 500 no play now.
Yeah, definitely 500 no more. But nah, I ain't got 10-0. I'll play.
Mr. Cub, Mr. 1,100.
Nah, give me 7-3. You know the NBA. Like I know y'all, you know, you say the Kings. You said the Kings, man, it's the NBA. Random losses any given night. Yeah, you know, I mean, I remember the Lakers when they used to be good, and Charlotte had like 10 wins, so they lost to Charlotte twice, right? You know, things like that happen in the NBA season. So that's none of this is far fetched. And the Kings are going to be battling for a play-in spot this year. So I don't have who they'll lose to, but like Scott said, I am on pace to go to the Brooklyn game, so they should win against Brooklyn. That's all I'm going to say there. They should win the game down there. I would hope they do. So 7-3, it's going to be, you know, little nip and tuck trying to figure some things out. But I just think the chemistry, the camaraderie, even without Triple J, they'll find a way. Ja Morant has improved. Apparently, he's improved his three-point shooting and his defense. I think that goes a long way. If you Desmond Bane can get his averages up to above 20, that should help out a lot. You just need some consistent shooting from Santi. You know, overcome whatever Dylan does on offense, but you got Dylan's defense and his tenacity that's going to help him out, hovefully without Triple J. And 7-3, man, that should be a pretty good start. Even if they go 6-4, that's a pretty decent start, first 10 games of the season. And I'm glad they don't have any back-to-backs until the 10th, 11th game when they have to go Washington and Boston back-to-back. But no back-to-backs in the first 10 games, so that's what's up.
Actually, they do have a back-to-back. That Houston-Dallas one is a back-to-back.
Oh, I should have completely missed that one. Okay. Yep, yeah. So it is this Friday and Saturday.
This Friday and Saturday, yeah. Yep. So it's only two. We really look at it, it's only two. It's that one and then the one you just mentioned. So
yeah, the one in Washington, Boston. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They might as well put San Antonio in it so they could do the whole Texas three-step thing. But
yeah, I don't understand why that wasn't that way. Yeah, I agree.
That's crazy. At least that second back-to-back is a home and home. So that could work out.
Yeah, it could. Cool, man. But that's it, man. Quick and easy episode, y'all, man. Anybody got anything else?
I'm just happy the season's here, man. I'm ready, man. I've been waiting on this for a minute. Let's all the drama of this offseason involving everybody. Let's
get it. Let's roll the ball out there.
Let's roll the ball out and let's play. Hey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Past Trevor about to be in effect. I'm about to have about three games on two different screens with my free league pass account. I'm in there.
Yeah, man. And not to say anything away from preseason, but the regular season is when you start to develop the boys, and the playoffs is when you separate the boys from the men. So let's start developing these boys.
Talk to
let's
them,
get
CD.
Ready
Talk
to the playoffs to separate the boys from the men.
I hear you, man. Preaching out here. I hear you. Preacher sheet, man. All right, y'all. That's all. Wait, y'all know y'all can follow us at the starting five, the number five MEM. Follow Grizzly Red Blues at SBN Grizzly. And check out all the blog posts at grizzlybearblues.com. And listen to the other podcasts on the network, GBB Live, Core 4, Grizz Next Gen, and Grizzly Bear Bets. Also, follow me at the one, D-A-O-N-E, underscore P-Shark.
We still out here getting Brandon Clark type money. I'm at underscore Scott Lee on Twitter.
This your guy League Pass Trevor, but I'm at the Auto Trevor on Twitter. Of is a preposition. You know what not to do with it.
And since I am the reverend here, I am taking a collection for Tuke's microphone at the starting five, but you can reach me. It's really Sheedy on Twitter. Please pray for him.
Yes. Follow DJ Teo for Teo Shakir.
His new Twitter name is the Michaelis. The Michaelis.
Hey, bro, you need to play all guys one mic, bro. All
right, man. Till next time. Well, first out, man. Shout out to Growl Town Central. That's I know he's a listener to the podcast. So, man, shout out to Growl Town Central. Till next time.
We love you, man. We love you.
All good times. Go Grizz.
Go Grizz.